Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Amen. Let's stand, let's sing. Victory in Jesus. Amen. How many got victory in him this morning? Say amen. Amen. Let's sing it out. Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Sing it out, sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, and he loved me here. I knew him and all my love is through him.
Just for a minute, but I tell you, I say this with all the love I've got in my heart for you this morning. You look like a bunch of constipated Christians out there singing and carrying on. Why don't you put a smile on your face and remember the day when Jesus saved you? Remember the day you fell on your knees with the weight of sins on your shoulders, and when you got up, it was gone. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to remember we've got victory in Jesus. Get that grin off your face and smile. We've got something to be excited about. I think we need to sing another verse of that, brother.
Sing the last verse. Sing. Well, I heard about a mansion that he had built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Sing it out, sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And he shall.
Missions Emphasis Day at Westside Baptist Church is to emphasize the need for missionaries to go around the world and tell people about Jesus Christ. And then for us that cannot go, it's showing us a need for us to give so others can go and do that work. Yesterday, we had the international dinner, as I mentioned earlier. It wasn't just about getting together and eating good food, although it was fantastic. It wasn't just about the fellowship, although that was good, and the friendship, and that was good. But it was to bring attention to the need of world missions. And so what we want to do in everything we do today, we want to emphasize missions and its need. The reason I asked Brother Tommy Tillman to come in is because when I was in my teenage years, he'd come into a church where we were and share his burden for those with leprosy. And I tell you, it was just it made a mark on me. And so I want you to be impressed with the needs of world missions. From the food fellowship right up to this moment. And so we're going to shift gears a little bit. I want you to see an 11-minute video, and I want to ask you to pay attention. Some of you are going to be swinging from the chandeliers before it's over with. Some of you are going to cry. Some of you are going to shout. Mark Zook, many years ago, was called to go to Papua New Guinea. And he was a farmer. And he knew that God wanted him to go. And he approached this organization and that organization, and they wouldn't send him out. He went to his pastor. He said, I know God wants me to go to Papua New Guinea. His church got together, and 100% sent him out to Papua New Guinea, he and Mark's wife. Mark was smart. He got to Papua New Guinea. He did not grab his Bible and start yelling at them immediately. He got into the village, learned their cultures, made friends, and then for 3 months, he got the village together every day, 3 months, and started in Genesis and used lost people in the village to skit out in skits all the way to the time of the crucifixion. And what happens, now the reason I want to share this video with you is I've never seen any missionary put this kind of video together but this one in my entire life. So this is a very special video. So I'm going to ask Brother Ricky if you would grab the lights back there. And Brother, thank you. If you'd grab at least those two rows. Now, folks, pay attention and hang on, because you're about to be blessed.
Before we could start teaching, we had to prepare Bible lessons. Our tribal language helper, who was not a believer at that time, was the key to getting the proper Bible terminology we needed. Even before we started to teach, the Mok seemed to sense a wonderful message was coming. When the teaching finally started, the entire village of 310 people gathered. We never mentioned Jesus Christ until after 2 months of teaching Old Testament foundational stories. The first day, we began by showing them a map of their village. Then we showed them where the surrounding Mok villages were located on that map. From this point, we explained to them progressively where they were located in relationship to the neighboring tribal groups, where in the province they were located, where the province was located in the country of Papua New Guinea, and where Papua New Guinea was in relationship to Australia, Japan, United States, and Israel. Then we explained how the Bible, God's talk, many years ago had come from Israel to Europe and then around the world and was now coming to them, the Mok people. In the second lesson, we discussed how different people groups believed they arrived here on this earth. The Mok people believed they were created by two different birds. When we told them that some people in our country believed they evolved from an ape-like creature, they said, "They're stupid." We asked them, "Out of all of these beliefs, which one is correct?" And they said, "We don't know." Then we told them, "This is why God has given His written word to mankind, and it never changes." Starting with God, we explained what He is like, His attributes. Then we told them about Satan and his fallen angels. The Mok felt that hell is a fitting place for Satan and that God was right in preparing it for him and his demons. From there, we taught them about creation, and Adam and Eve, and man's choice to sin. We explained how God promised a Savior who would someday come to deliver us from sin. Other Old Testament stories followed in which we emphasized God's greatness and grace, man's lostness in sin and helpless condition, and God's provision of a blood sacrifice through the killing of a lamb. Often we used drama to help them understand what we were teaching. When we told how God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, it presented a dilemma.
Abraham was obviously a godly man, so he would obey God. But it was through Isaac that the Savior of the world was promised to come. I knew that somehow Abraham would obey, but God must save Isaac's life. Perhaps with a substitute lamb.
Before we finish the story, four different men individually suggested that Abraham would obey God, but God would somehow intervene and save Isaac's life by providing a substitute lamb. They developed a sincere reverence of God and feared daily that God might rightly destroy them because of their sin. They said, "We are just like those people in Sodom and Gomorrah." For 2 months, we taught key Old Testament stories chronologically before we finally introduced Jesus Christ as the Savior, born as a babe in this world. As we studied the life of Christ, they fell in love with him, and Jesus became the Moke hero. They loved him, and they idolized him.
Never during the weeks Mark taught did a villager miss a lesson, though he taught for 3 months, Monday through Friday, two times a day. Villagers that were sick were brought on makeshift stretchers. And when an expectant mother was near delivery, they arranged for her to be close enough to the meeting to hear the story. The baby arrived in the middle of one of the sessions, but the teaching still went on. At times, the Moke were so intense, they stopped eating and would not even sleep. They spent every waking moment discussing the message and re-listening over and over again to the lessons recorded on cassettes. This wonderful Jesus was perfect, and he could do anything. He was God. Day finally came to explain the betrayal by Judas and the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate.
Judas's betrayal was upsetting to the Moke, but they still had faith that somehow Jesus would escape. That was the last story we told them before the gospel presentation. At the end of it, we said, "Tomorrow we will finish our talk." The next morning, the people were all gathered before sunrise. I told the story of Jesus appearing before Pilate. The people were very sober. When during our skit they saw Jesus being spit upon, beaten, and finally put to death, they were simply appalled. They were distraught. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. Because the death and shedding of blood is so significant to the gospel story, we had rigged a balloon filled with colored water to be pierced by our designated Roman soldier. It was when they saw the blood that the story began to take on significance. Our explanation and portrayal of Jesus Christ's resurrection was simple, but to them, very powerful. The Savior was alive. Then I went back into the Old Testament stories and, beginning with Abel, explained how Jesus was our acceptable sacrifice, just like Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God. When I finally reached the story of Abraham and Isaac, I said to them, "Listen, just as a real lamb was substituted for Isaac, so Christ's death and blood has been shed as a substitution for you." At that point, the lights really went on. I could see and hear them responding all over the crowd. "I believe! I believe! I believe!" I stood in their midst and asked them what they thought. From all over, responses came like this.
"I know I was born in sin. I believe Jesus paid for my sin, that he died in my place. He is my sin bearer."
"I lived in fear, trying to please the spirits, for I knew no other way to be free from sin. But God in his grace has sent you to us. I've heard it and believe the death and blood of Christ is payment for my sin. I believe it, and God has forgiven me."
On that day, almost all the village expressed belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a sense of tremendous relief. The Moke are generally a restrained people, but as the gospel sunk in, and new believers sensed the liberation from sin. Spontaneous rejoicing broke out. Watch what happened. Village believers stating that he too believes that Christ has paid for his sins. Itao, which means it's true or it's good, it's very true. Village grandma rejoicing that he believes, so does she. Different ones giving testimony as to their belief in Christ as their sin bearer. Mark saying that if they really are believing, then God's word says that their sin is forgiven. Itao, it's good, it's true. Spontaneous rejoicing breaks out. This went on for 2.5 hours.
Mr. Zook, we've considered your interest in our mission board, and I'm sorry we do not believe you are missionary material. You'll just be too old and fossil.
Gloria, don't fret yourself so over those people. Consider your health. You have children.
Mark and Gloria, as a church, we are standing behind you. We'll pray for you. We'll support you. Go in the Lord's name.
Praise the Lord. Bring the lights up. Folks, that's what happens when you dip into your pocket and you give to missions. Some of you give monthly right now, but I'm going to ask that you'll prayerfully think about maybe increasing your missions giving. Beyond that, I'm going to say this to you that are not giving at all. You just saw an example of why we're having Missions Emphasis Day. And I hope it'll reach down and squeeze your heart till missions money comes out of your pocket. Praise the Lord for his wonderful salvation, Brother Dave.
The psalm says it all.
Believe that he is good. He'll come through like he said he would.
was sitting over there. I guess I was napping. Did you enjoy that video? Is that not just powerful? You know, if it were all a lie, it wouldn't mean anything. But, you know, it's a wonder how God can save people here right in Noonan, Georgia, and at the same time save a village over in Papua New Guinea. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. Dr. Tommy Tillman, if you'd be so kind to come and share with us what God has given you. God bless you. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Will.
God bless you. I want to thank your pastor for letting me come and speak to you today. And church, I have been preaching 60 years. I preached from Maine, state of Maine, California, Washington State, Florida, seven different countries. I've got to be honest with you. Where is the brother that met me when I got out of the car? They hit his wife. The one, he told me, when you open the doors of this church, you can feel the Holy Spirit. And brother, what really got me, you've got a pastor, don't never get rid of him. He took me into his office. We bowed our head, he prayed for me before I come in here to preach. And I thank God for a pastor like that. And I thank God for my wife, been married 65 years. And I told her if she ever left me, I'd pack up and go with her. So she's here today, and I thank God that she's put up with me for all these years, and it's just so good. I feel so good. God has given you a good church right here. Boy, the Holy Spirit is in this church, and it's a privilege to be in your pulpit, brother. It sure is. And tell what God is doing in Thailand and Mongolia. My. Would it be all right? Normally, I feel like I just need to tell this little joke, really, because when I was first called to be a missionary, I went to my first church raising support, and I went in. I thought I'd tell a little joke, you know, I'd get them laughing and happy. And after I told the joke and preached, the deacons came to me and they said, well, says, we thank the Lord for what he's called you to do. And it says, we really don't want to support a missionary that tells jokes from the pulpit. I said, well, I'm not going to tell no more jokes. So the next week I went to a church. I didn't tell a joke. The deacons came to me and they said, well, we'd like to support you, but we want to support a missionary that's got a sense of humor. So I thought, well, what in the world? Well, what, I don't know what to do. But anyway, I'm going to tell my joke now and get that out of the way. One time this church was having a big meeting, and boy, they was all shouting and praising the Lord, running up and down the aisles and screaming. And after they did this for about 45 minutes or an hour, the pastor got up and he said, does anybody here have anything you'd like to pray about? Anything, if you have any kind of sickness or anything whatsoever, if you've got something you'd like for us to pray for, you just hold up your hand. Man way in back of the church held his hand up. He said, brother, come on down here. We're going to pray for you. So he come down. And they all got on their knees and prayed for about 20 or 30 minutes. All of their shirts were soaking wet with sweat. And after this, they stood up. And he said, well, brother, can you tell any difference about this hearing that we prayed about? You said that you wanted to pray for your hearing. So we really poured our hearts out to the Lord about your hearing. How is it? He said, I don't know, Pastor. It don't come up till next Friday. Well, anyway, I got to tell this one, too. I feel good. You got a good church. There's a good spirit here. When I first went to Thailand, I worked with lepers, lived with lepers for 30 years, giving God all the glory. I haven't called it. And I thank God for your pastor recognizing the work that we do over there. But anyway, people say, wonder why God is blessing. It's a church where Buddha is the leader. I mean, that's a Buddhist country. And I've had the government to tell me, really, you'll never do any work here because we're a Buddhist country. You'll never do any Christian work. But yet, God has no closed doors. People have closed minds. And I think this might be one kind of humorous thing that really got the work going in Thailand. I was walking down the street one time with Thailand, I guess 17, 18 years ago, but this lady started following me. And my wife don't mind me telling this, because this lady come up walking beside me, rubbing my elbow. I thought, boy, what is she doing? And I got fast, and she got fast, rubbing my elbow. And I slowed up real slow, rubbing my elbow. I went over, looked in the store window, and she'd come over, looked in the window, rubbing my elbow. I went into a restaurant. She comes in and sits down looking at me. And I said, ma'am, are you following me? She said, I sure am. I said, well, that's not nice. I said, I'm a married man. She said, well, I'm married too. That doesn't mean anything. I said, it does with my wife. You better believe it. Well, she said, well, I like you. I said, why do you like me? She said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. She says, you know, we worship Buddha here. And says, you look like Buddha, and I'm going to follow you everywhere you go. But I'll tell you what, I'll be glad when the rapture comes, get my glorified new body, and I won't look like Buddha no more. I recognize this. I really do. So y'all pray for it. Pray for the work in Thailand. Pray for the souls that God is letting us. Now, I just can't tell in 5 days, really, all that God has done. God has given us, God's done it all. We didn't do anything. The first 3 years that God blessed us so much was the belief. I was put in jail one night for putting Bibles on a Russian ship. So, anyway, this is a long story. I can't tell all about this and everything like this. But anyway, I was advised to go to a different country to put Bibles on ships if I was going to do this. So I went down to Belize, Central America, went through the jungle, 100 miles down through the jungle, and the water flood came and flooded us up. We couldn't get back across the river for 3 days. And Mr. Sho, the Maya Indian chief, would not let us come into his village until he said the sundown. I said, well, I've seen you two men come here, and you've been there three days on the riverbank, and we're going to bring you up here in our village, and we'll feed you and take care of you until the river goes down. So while we were sitting in his bamboo hut, he said, well, you Americans like coffee, don't you? I said, yeah, sure do. So he brought a cup of coffee, and steam coming off of it. And I looked down in that coffin, and there's a big old cockroach floating in it. I said, I have to drink this. And the Holy Spirit said, well, if you don't get some hot coffee, you better drink it. And I flipped that cockroach out and flipped him. Drink that coffee. Now we're going to feed you now. They brought me some scrambled eggs with black hair scrambled up in those eggs. I said, Lord, do I have to eat this? And that verse came across my mind, eat that which you set before you, give no thanks. Giving thanks. I said, Lord, bless these eggs. And I ate those eggs. And then they put us in a room, a bamboo room. 13 hound dogs was in that room. I slept there with 13 dogs. And the very next day, Mr. Schultz, now just like the president of America, but to the Maya Indians, he was a chief Maya Indian. And I'm talking about how God has no closed doors. People have closed minds. He says, you think that you're better than we are. You ate your food, the fire food. You drank your coffee with us. You spent the night here with us and said, now, we are Roman Catholics. We will never change our religion. But you've become our friend because you're living with us like you. I mean, you come in and ate with us, stayed with us, and you come here and stay with us as long as you want to. So I would go back and stay weeks at a time, preaching and preaching. And one night at 11:30, Mr. Scholl came and woke me up. He said, Mr. Tillman, I can't sleep tonight. Can you help me? I just can't go to sleep. There's something bothering me. It's in my heart. I said, well, have you been thinking of Jesus? He said, yeah, that might be the reason. I don't know. I said, I think you're under conviction. You need to get saved. And so I said, all right, let me give you the plan of salvation from creation to the crucifixion. Oh, he sat there listening to it, and it was already midnight. And I said, would you like to take Jesus Christ into your heart and life? Oh, Mr. Scholl got on his knees. My Indian chief got on his knees and said, dear God, I'm a sinner, save me. And boy, he got up praising the Lord. And it was about 12:30 then. He said, boy, he said, I've been so badly wrong being the leader of these people. And he said, aren't I supposed to be baptized? I said, well, not for salvation, but it's you want to be baptized, be an obedient Christian. And so he says, well, so I want to get baptized. I said, when, tomorrow? He said, no, right now. And he got his flashlight. 300 people in that village. We went out in the village. Everybody get up. I've got some good news for you. Boy, they came out and he said, you know, I'm your chief. I've always set good examples for you. But he said, I've been wrong on one thing. We don't go to heaven through a church. But he said, we go to heaven through God's Son, the Lord Jesus. And I've invited him into my heart and life tonight. And he says, I'm going to be baptized. And we went out the river, right up to here. At about 1 o'clock in the morning, there's big snakes in those rivers, I'll tell you. And so he said, okay, baptize me, Mr. Tillman. I baptized him in the Father, name, and the Holy Spirit. And I brought him to America. We trained him about pastoring churches. He went back. And right now, that was 18, 20 years ago before I went into Thailand. And then that work is still going on. When God's in something, it don't fade away. It don't do it. And that work is still going. They've got a college built there now just because Mr. Scholl, the Indian chief, gave his heart to God. And so not only that, there's so many stories I could tell about Belize and all, but yet went into Korea, South Korea, went out. I know one word in Korean, Thrukno. I speak Thai, but not Korean. Thrukno means leper island. And so they took me out on Leper Island. I didn't know what was all. I'm cutting some of this short but anyway, there's an island there in the Yellow Sea out from Busan, South Korea, with 300 lepers in it. And didn't know it was a leper colony until I got there at midnight. Oh, they all got in this big auditorium. They said, we want you to preach to us. I said, all right. So we preached. I preached there until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, boy, I'm sleepy, I'm tired. They said, you can't sleep, you can't preach no more. I said, I can't, well, tomorrow. So they put me in a one room, 9-foot room on a pallet, got in the bed a little after 2 o'clock in the morning. At 4:30, there came a knock on my door. I said, who in the world waking me up at 4:30? I didn't get in the bed till after 2 o'clock. And I cracked the door, looked out. There was a leper there. He said, they sent me to get you. They want to hear some more preaching. I said, oh, they want me to preach? Yeah, they're already back down in the building waiting on you. So I go down there and I stay with him until they went home. The sun come up. And so the next day I preached And the same building gave the invitation. 90 lepers came forward to be saved. Oh, I said, dear God, if 90 lepers come forward to receive Jesus Christ, do you want me to be a missionary to these people? The Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to do. And for 30 years, I've lived with lepers. God has blessed so much. And then from there, I went into Thailand, where the king was a Buddhist. And the government in Thailand says you can never do any kind of work in Thailand. Now, I'm just telling these short stories here because God has no closed doors. People have closed minds. Anyway, the government in Thailand says you'll never do any work here. We're Buddhists. I said, just forget about it. And so the king gave me permission to do it right there. Oh, now he's the final word in Thailand. But we got a leper colony built in Thailand, still going on right now. And my, how God is blessing there. And then went into Mongolia, a communist government. God had no closed doors. A lot of people have closed minds. Boy, you'll never do work here, you Christians, for communists. Right now, God does this. I don't do it. We have written permission from a communist government to build churches in the Gobi Desert. That's the truth, church. If you don't believe it, you come go with me. If you buy an airplane ticket, you come over and see the work if you want to see it. And we'll feed you, we'll lodge you. We will take care of you, give you a good place to sleep. 3 meals a day. Not going to tell you what the meals are, but I've eaten so much dog meat, my wife made me stop chasing cars out the road yesterday. But I'll tell you what, we must become all things, all men to win some to Christ. And the hardest thing I have ever done in my life was sit at a table with 5 lepers and eat a dog. But boy, there is so... Boy, we must become all things to all men. I got to tell that. I don't know. Can I go ahead and tell a story over this? I'm not anti-education. I wish I had more. I got 2 doctorates, but I've never used anything I was taught in Bible college serving God. We only need 1 textbook. We only need the Holy Spirit of God to be your teacher. And so that's our teacher right here. But anyway, walking down the street of Bangkok one day, this leper sitting there begging. I went up to him. I said, let me tell you about somebody that loved you and died for you. He wants to take you to heaven. He said, I don't want to hear this story. I've heard it so much. It's just a lot of hot air coming out of you Christians' throats and says, I just don't know what to hear it. I've heard it so much, I'm tired. I said, well, what else is there? Jesus loved you. He died for you. He said, well, I'd like to see some of this love you want to tell me. He said, oh, well, I'd like to see some of it rather than just hearing about it. The Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. And I said, dear God, I believe you want me to really follow up with him. He can be saved. The Holy Spirit was speaking this. I went home, spent the night with him, slept on a pallet on the floor with this leper. The next morning, his daughter, a leper girl, cooked breakfast for us. We sat down at the table, and his daughter came in with a steaming pot of rice. And the leper man, her daddy, says, boy, this is a good rice here. I want you to eat it and tell me what you think about it. I thought, I couldn't do it at first. I started praying. I said, Lord, I believe he's under conviction. And I spent the night with him. And I believe, dear God, that he wants to be saved if you give it the right words to say to him now. And I gave him the plan of salvation. And he said, because you ate this rice, you didn't think he was better than me. I'm going to take Jesus Christ into my heart and life. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating, tears ran down his cheeks of his face and splattered on the floor. And, boy, hallelujah, that's my home over there, church. The next week I was about 30 miles away. I got in the pulpit to preach, and I heard this leper outside, "Hey, preacher, they won't let me come in. I'm a leper, and I'm going to follow you everywhere you go because you showed me God's love. You just didn't tell me about it." After the service, I went outside. "Preacher, they won't let me come in. I'm a leper, but I'm going to keep on following you." The next week, I was 5 miles further at another village. "Hey, preacher, I'm still following you. You showed me God's love. I'll go anywhere to hear you preach." I got a letter from his daughter a few years ago, and she said, "Brother Tommy, Daddy died and went to heaven. Thank God somebody showed him God's love rather than just telling him about it." And church, you know what? I graduated from Tennessee Temple College December years ago, 1961. You know how much they taught me in school about mission work or anything? Not one thing. Not one thing. I'll repeat it again. Here is our textbook. The Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. And some of the best preachers I have really ever heard was spirit-filled people, not highly educated. That's all we need to do. Tell people about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, boy, did I have a sermon. What time do you like to get it, brother? I don't really be honest. I'll continue tonight, okay? Well, I was thinking tonight, I'll continue this message tonight. But I just came back from Thailand a few weeks ago. I got up the pulpit at the leper colony about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I stood in the pulpit. I looked out the window. One of her lepers was crawling on his stomach, coming to church. I heard another leper say, "He's not going to miss church. He loves the Lord." And I saw this leper, other leper, get a wagon, push it outside down the sidewalk, hook this leper up his arms and put him into the wagon, brought him down to the church, and got him up at a pew, sat there, tears running down his cheeks. He said, "This man helped me get to church to hear the word." Tears running out of his cheeks, eyes, and I looked at it and I said, "Now that is compassion right there. That is compassion right there." And church, let me read one verse of scripture and then whatever the pastor wants to do about the invitation or what. But the book of Jude next to the book of Revelation, there's one chapter with 25 verses. And verse 22 of Jude says, "And though some have compassion, making a difference." You don't have to have compassion to go to heaven. But I'm going to read it again. "And though some have compassion, making a difference." If we're going to serve God, there was a man not long ago who said, "How do you get compassion?" I said, "Brother, just get on your knees. Just get on your knees. God will give you compassion if you'll ask God." Let me read one more place. Romans, then I'll be finishing up here. But Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Next to Jesus Christ, church, I don't know how to give myself to God any more than I've done it my wife did. We have sold everything that we've had to do what God would have us to do. God has blessed us so much. I can't tell it all here that God's done for us. I have slept at alleys with lepers. I slept on riverbanks on bridge under bridges. I've eaten with lepers. All these years, praise God, God's kept me safe. I want to pray that God will let me get back over. I've had a 5-way open heart surgery. I had a heart attack in Bangkok in 1988. Thailand, Mongolia is my home next to heaven. They are my people. They are my people. I'm going to read these three verses, and I'll be through here for the morning service, but I'll continue tonight. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3, the man that had more compassion next to Jesus, that's recorded in the Bible. Verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, this verse, too, is not the sorrow that he had because some professional football team won or lost a game or something. What Paul is talking about right here in verse 2 again, and I have great heaviness and continual. In other words, it wasn't in the last revival that we had, I had some sorrow. It wasn't in Sunday school last week, I had some sorrow. Or at the funeral last 2 weeks ago, I had some sorrow. But Paul said there's continual sorrow in my heart. It's eating in my system and my bosom, and I can't get away from it. And verse 3, now what he's getting, the sorrow that he's talking about, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know what he's saying? I love the Jews. They're my brethren. I'm willing to die, go to hell, and burn in the flames of hell for their salvation if they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's exactly what he's talking about. Giving God all the glory, not me, but I want to do what all I can do. And God will never let you down. God works miracles. We don't ever hurt for money. We don't. I'll finish with this. This just comes across my mind. Walking through Walmart one time, I'd gotten a letter in the mail, had a $100 bill in it. You can't outgive God. I'll be through after this, promise. Walking through Walmart, I'd gotten a letter in the mail, $100 bill. Mr. Tillman, do not use this in Thailand or Mongolia. This is a gift that I want you to spend on yourself, whatever you want. Don't you spend it. Don't give it to this ministry, but it's for you personally to use. Go somewhere and buy something that you want. I said, boy, I've never had a $100 bill given to Ben. Boy, I took off to Walmart. I was sashaying up down them aisles. I said, boy, I got a $100 bill. I can just about buy anything in here that I want. And I walked down the aisle, and here was an elderly woman pushing another woman in a wheelchair, an elderly man by her, and I heard one of them say, we don't have enough money to get the food that we need. We're going to have to put some of this back on the shelves. Boy, the Holy Spirit said, Tommy, did you hear that? I said, yeah. He said, what you going to do with that money? I said, I'm going to keep it. It's given to me, not to give to somebody else. I got about 2 other aisles away, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm still waiting, Tommy. I turned around, gave him that $100 bill, and I thought they was going to have revival. Oh, I never heard, oh, we can get the food now. We can get the food now. Boy. Now, here's the miracle. Here's the miracle. You cannot give God. I know. Boy, I got a letter in the mail. Now, the miracle of this ended of this, an Orthodox Jew sending a Baptist missionary something. An Orthodox Jew, that's a miracle right there for an Orthodox Jew to do this, especially to a Baptist. I got a letter, Mr. Tillman, take this $500 and use it where you want to. Well, I'll tell you what, God has never let us down. Oh, I've been preaching 60 years, and I don't ever hurt for nothing. God loves you. If you really sell out to God, just go do the things. Let me say, you can do the same thing working through the church like this. Work through the church. Work when God sent Jesus Christ back to heaven, the Holy Spirit, God sent the Holy Spirit back to do the job that Jesus Christ left to be done through the local New Testament church. Now, God wants you to support missions through the local New Testament church. God has given you a mission-minded man right here as a pastor. Boy, you better stand up for him. You better stand up for him. Churches are falling by the wayside nowadays. Thank God for this one. You know what? That singing today, boy, that got on me. I started to run out in the car and get my harmonica. Join in with them. That was good singing today. That was good music. Boy, I felt good. I feel good in church. So you say, you're not saved by feelings. I know we're not saved by feelings, but I wouldn't do. I thank God I've got a God that can run chill bumps up down my back. Oh, I felt good today, this singing. You know, musicians are the least recognized people in any church. Now, get me straight on this. You don't hardly ever see somebody recognize the musicians in a church, but boy, I'll tell you what, they're worthy of what they're called to do. They sure are. Well, I could keep on going, but Father, dear God, with our heads bowed, I feel so good this morning, dear God. Lord, that DVD that they showed, that was a real missionary in that show, in that dear DVD, Father. Lord, thank you for the pastor here pushing missions. That's God's heart throb, sending the gospel into all the world. And dear God, I pray that you're blessed. Dear God, those that's here today, and you promised that your word would not return to void. Maybe somebody's heart was touched today. I don't know, Father, but we just put the invitation into your hands and let the pastor come, and ever how he gives the invitation, may he do it. But dear God, looking forward even tonight to come and fellowship it, and Lord, just preach the word of God. Thank you for loving us, dear God. Thank you for Calvary. And dear God, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so, Father. Dear God, with my head bowed and eyes closed, help me some ways get back to see my lepers, Father. They're my people. Help me to see them one day, dear God, again, before we get to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
Love you, brother.
Love you, too. Some having compassion, making a difference. Would you like to make a difference in the world around you today? I mean, how about making a difference here in Noonan? Would you stand up and say, preacher, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in Noonan. You may want to stand up and say, you know, preacher, I'm a tither, but I haven't been given to missions. I want to extend my giving into the missions arena, Westside Baptist Church, because I want to make a difference on the foreign mission field. I want to make a difference to these 33 missionaries that we support around the world. Would you stand, please? And if it's your heart, if it's in your mind, you'd like to make a difference to a lost and dying world, Christians, the altar's open for you. But I also want to say this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to come and know Him. If you don't know the Lord, we want to take God's Word, open it up, and show you how you can be saved. Be born again like one of these lepers that we heard about today. One of these people that was lost over in Papua New Guinea, lost and undone, on the way to hell. That missionary stepped in and for 3 months preached the gospel, and the whole village was saved. Only God can do that. But I want to say to you, if you don't know Him, He wants to do the same thing for you that He did for that village. He wants to save you. So as we sing, Christian, preacher, I want to make a difference. The altar's open. Lost person, if you want to be born again, come forward and we'll show you how you can be saved as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.
I want to make a difference, Lord.
All to
I want to make
Him
a difference.
I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
To a lost and dying world.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender.
Surrender to make a difference.
At His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Got nothing. It's got nothing that we need to hang on to. The Bible says that rust eats away at everything. The moths corrupt. This world's got nothing eternal. The only thing you're going to take with you from here to heaven is those things that you do in the name of Jesus Christ. Other than that, it's all going to be left behind. I remember my aunt sitting at the graveside of my uncle, a pastor, a preacher of decades, a World War II veteran. And she said to my uncle, as he was dead, "I've gone as far as I can go with you." When he left everything behind, including his wife. Not going to take it with you. The only thing that you're taking to heaven is those things which we do for God. In other words, when we make a difference on this end, we'll carry it with us over there. Christians, are we willing to make a difference? I believe we've sung all we're going to sing. I'm going to ask the ushers if you would come. Do you believe this man deserves to be paid today? Did you enjoy the message? Did you enjoy the message? Yeah. My wife grabbed the baskets because we didn't have opportunity to be seated. Grab your wallet and then please be seated. Folks, did you enjoy it? I want to explain something, what we're about to show you, so you don't think we've lost our minds, because I think we have. But Miss Linda has, over the last, 3 months or so, longer, been taking up tin cans, aluminum, metals, and she has been giving that money from the metals. She's been giving that money to missions. And she came to me and she said, "Preacher, you know what cans bring the most money?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Per can," she said, "cat food cans." So she's encouraged all the cat people. She's encouraged them to feed the missions fund. So, folks, these are the families. These are the families that are helping the missions fund. Now, there's enough cats up there to start 3 Chinese restaurants. And we won't be putting animals up on the screen on a regular basis. But this was important to Miss Linda because she's working hard to get that money. And I just wanted to recognize her and appreciate her for what she's doing. And yes, you folks, for even letting your cats contribute. Bless your heart. So after, and by the way, we started to put a caption up there, "Tastes like chicken," but we didn't do that. But we're going to put a caption up there, but I didn't, anything we put up just seemed silly. Because there was no way I can convey to you how serious Miss Linda takes this thing of collecting cans. And so I want to thank you for giving cans, and I appreciate Miss Linda. She asked me if we'd put the cats up there, and because she works herself to death, I'm honoring her by doing that today. So let's give Miss Linda a hand, please.